This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Let's hit it. Give me a vacation.
Vacation.
Give me a wave.
Surfing.
Give me a city tour.
The trolley.
Give me animals.
The zoo.
Give me some sea life. Give me museums.
Balboa Park.
Give me a woo.
Roller coaster.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your family vacation at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hello and welcome to Savor, a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we have a classic episode for you about basil.
Or basil.
Yep. So this is one of the episodes that really cemented our mythology that Annie is a sleeper agent for the British Empire. And, you know, that's what's going on with her.
Yeah. That's what's just going on. I have to say, because there's been several instances after that. Paprika was another one. I have now started to say basil and basil because I think I've gotten really in my head, but I feel like I'm in a strange state. I don't know, something in my brain will awaken. But I do say both alternately now.
Huh.
Was there any particular reason this was on your mind, Lauren?
No. The episode originally aired in June of 2018. And I was just kind of going through our older archive and I was thinking about the basil plant that I killed over the winter. Mm-hmm. And it was like, that sounds like a good topic. I wonder if it's still pleasant to listen to. And it was. This is a super fun one.
It was a really fun one. My basil plant. See, this is the issue, is I always pause before it now. I'm like, which one are you going to say? Mm-hmm. It died.
I'm sorry.
It was a tragedy.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
all
no.
These ants came in out of nowhere.
Oh, right.
And they killed the plant and then they left. So I thought I was going to have a big ant problem, you know, and I'm glad that I didn't, but it seemed that they just came in to kill this plant. And then
they just murked the plant and then left. Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, sure.
Huh. Vacated. This episode does remind me of one of the funniest, in my opinion, complainty listener mails we ever got, which was, why didn't you talk about pesto?
Oh.
And that was sort of the heart of the message. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay. But we could just talk about pesto later.
Yeah. We could do a whole episode about pesto. We probably should.
We probably should.
It's
just
delicious.
Funny,
yeah.
This person was seemed very passionate about pesto.
You know, we appreciate passion around here.
We do. I'm not mad about this message. I just remember kind of being taken aback.
Yeah, just like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know. I didn't know that this was so dear to you. I would have. I didn't. I meant no pesto offense, you know. Yeah.
Never. never any mm-hmm. pesto offense. which is funny because at the time I don't think I'd had pesto.
Really? Like
I either hadn't had it or I just didn't know I'd had it.
Okay,
I
sure.
definitely did not, had not knowingly had it. Mm-hmm. But I had a friend who had a lot of basil plants and she made some homemade pesto from them. And then after that, I was sold and I was really mad I hadn't been enjoying
eaten more of it that. Previously. Yes. Yeah, sure, sure.
Yes. Okay, well, I guess we should let past Annie and Lauren take it away. Hello and welcome to Food Stuff. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we're talking about one of my favorite herbs.
Oh, me too.
Oh, yay. Well, I think it's basically like everyone's favorite herb worldwide.
Basically, we're talking about basil.
Basil!
I really hesitated because I almost said basil.
Basil is, according to BabyCenter.com, the 2,660th most popular name for babies this year.
Moving on up, I guess.
It's actually moving on down. It was more popular last year, but...
Aw, that's too bad. I wonder where herb is on that list.
Oh, research for another day.
Yes. But no, today we are talking about basil. And... what is it?
Well, basil is a tender flowering plant with oblong leaves that are highly aromatic. The species, Acamum basilicum, is in the same family as mints and lots of other culinary herbs like sage, oregano, lavender, and thyme.
There are over 60 types of basil. Oh my gosh. I am saying basil, and I don't know why or how.
Okay. I mean, just roll with it.
Okay. Some days you say basil, some days you say basil. Some days you probably say a completely different pronunciation. Anyway, there are over 60 types.
Mm-hmm.
Shades of green to purple to red.
Depending on the variety, basil plants may grow about 1 to 3 feet tall. That's up to a meter.
And taste-wise, basil can have notes of lemon, anise, cinnamon, clove, licorice, citrus, jasmine, and thyme. Most basil grown in Asia typically has a stronger clove flavor. I feel like I need to go into a room and, like, have some kind of speech therapy.
I genuinely can't tell if you're doing this on purpose.
I'm not doing it on purpose. I don't know what's going on.
This is a terrific, like, Madonna moment.
It really is. It really is. Here we go. According to what I read, it's best to pick basil leaves before the plant flowers, which means I'm SOL because mine has beautiful bright white buds. To prevent this, growers are advised to pinch it back.
Yeah, for optimal herb leaf growth, you're going to want to trim off flowers as they start to grow. However, basil flowers are also edible. Lots of herb flowers are edible. Google to be sure before you eat something. But yeah, basil buds and flowers are a little bit more peppery than the leaves and are a pretty delightful addition to like salads and cocktails, stuff like that. Bees and other pollinators also do like them. So leaving flowers on your outdoor plants can help out some of those local pollinator populations.
Mm-hmm. And all is not lost for me because I also read that apparently basil keeps away cockroaches, flies, and mosquitoes.
It's a plant that can grow pretty well without pesticides because, yeah, a lot of bugs don't like it.
Mine grows pretty well in general because I'm really bad with plants. And I had 11, like, herbs last year. Uh-huh. And now I have only two, the basil and the parsley. And they, like, I've forgotten to water them for weeks.
Oh, sure.
And they are still kicking.
Yeah.
And they're both lovely and delightful and probably about the only thing I can grow.
I've done that with mint.
Oh, yeah. Mint is tough.
Oh, yes. It's going to outlast all of us.
Yes, it will. An African legend asserts that basil keeps away scorpions. On the other hand, because something we learned during the research for this is that basil is full of contradictions throughout history. In the 1600s, English botanist Nicholas Culpepper, referring to a French physician, suggested that it was understood that smelling too much basil would turn your brain into a breeding ground for scorpions.
So it either keeps scorpions away, or merely smelling it will make scorpions appear in your brain cavity.
One or the other. Basil has a surprising amount of connections throughout history to scorpions. Another superstition of the time was that if you left a leaf of basil underneath a pot, it would transform into a scorpion after enough time had passed. A 16th century Flemish doctor warned that if you crushed a basil leaf between two bricks, you'd have a scorpion on your hands. Were people doing this en masse, leaving basil between bricks and...
I think it just gets left there, and sometimes scorpions show up later.
Lauren.
Sorry. Speaking of logic, basil nutrition.
Yeah.
In the amounts that you would eat basil, it's essentially nutritionally moot.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I guess it's got some fiber.
Mm-hmm.
If you eat about 2 chopped tablespoons of basil, you're giving yourself about 5% of your daily recommended intake of vitamin A.
2 chopped tablespoons. Okay.
That might be, depending on how much you're eating. I'm not sure. Herbs in general are a wonderful addition to foods because they pack a lot of flavor without adding sugar or fats.
I have been known to I'm not frying them, but I'll make them crispy. Like, I'll just... Keep them in a pan, and I'll just eat the leaves.
Oh, sure.
Chemically, basil has a lot of interesting stuff going on. That hint of clove comes from eugenol, the same chemical that gives clove its cloviness. There's higher levels of citral or limonol, along with the terpene chemical limonene. And this is the same thing that's behind lemon peel scent. Those chemicals are present in high levels in lemon and lime basil. The same is true for the chemicals behind licorice, for licorice basil, cinnamon for cinnamon basil, so on. There are so many types that have kind of similar...
Yeah, flavor profiles to something else.
Exactly. Throughout history, basil has been used for a plethora of medicinal purposes. Bronchitis, insect bites, cold, muscle pains. Ayurvedic medicine employed basil seeds. Current studies are looking into basil's potential anti-cancer, antimicrobial, antioxidant, and antiviral properties, as well as, it also has a known carcinogen called estradiol. But studies in rodents show that you need to take in about 1,000 times what's considered a normal amount of basil before it'd give you cancer. An entry I found on the supernatural uses of basil included love, wealth, cheerfulness, flying protection, and exorcism. Oh, yeah. So let's talk about some production, shall we?
Yeah, if you want to get all of those benefits. Although basil plants will survive year to year, as you have found, Annie, in warm climates or kept indoors, they are generally treated as an annual crop for production, replanted every year. They will not survive a frost. Farmers can harvest up to 5 crops from the same plants in a single growing season. Once harvested, basil has to be treated pretty carefully to avoid damage. It's usually refrigerated immediately, like in the field, if possible, after harvest. Even when it's dried, it is treated very gently, heated to no higher than about 90 degrees Fahrenheit, about 32 degrees Celsius, to preserve the oils in it. For growing at home, if you ever buy fresh basil that you really like, try trimming like a centimeter or so of the stalk off of a sprig, and then just putting it in water in a sunny spot. Basil is pretty good at growing from cuttings.
Mm-hmm.
Once a couple centimeters worth of roots grow, you can just plant it in soil. But it also does grow pretty well without soil. It's one of the plants being experimented with in hydroponic and aquaponic studies, investigating alternatives to traditional farming, which could become more important as climate change affects our farmlands.
Indeed.
One study I found was testing out basil's growth in water inhabited by crawfish, and it did really well.
Aw, food stuff. Food stuff past and present intertwine.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of hydroponics, one of the best ways to keep basil fresh once it's been cut off of a plant is to place the stems in water and keep the, like, vase of basil that you've got at that point in the fridge. Just change out the water every day. You might want to cover the whole thing in plastic. Your results may vary. Separate leaves, once they're de-stemmed, can be layered with paper towels to keep them fresh a little bit longer. Some guides say that the paper towels should be damp. Again, your results may vary.
Mm-hmm.
By the numbers, basil numbers are difficult to track because a lot of it is fresh, and that's generally used locally, like pretty quickly after the harvest. But France, Italy, India, Thailand, and Egypt grow a lot, producing just amongst themselves thousands of tons per year. Hundreds of tons of dried basil are imported to the United States and various European countries every year, and basil oil is also a major production. As of the mid-1990s, about 43 tons, that's $2.8 million worth of basil oil, were in production every year.
Oof. Basil is used in various delicious ways in cuisines all around the world. Thai, Laotian, Vietnamese, Italian, Mediterranean, Chinese, Indonesian, Indian, basil chicken, pesto, caprese, all my favorite pizza, the margarita, deep fried basil, alongside fruits, in desserts, in cocktails. That dessert we had at Food and Wine, it had basil.
Yeah, yeah, the key lime and watermelon one.
Oh, so good. And it's an ingredient in chartreuse.
It's one of the things that makes it green.
I did not know that. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what I thought chartreuse was, but I never would have guessed that had basil in it.
Basil seeds are also eaten. If you soak them in water for like a couple minutes up to 30 minutes, they'll plump up with a gelatinous coating the same way that chia seeds do. And what's happening here is that the outer layer, the outer skin of the seed, contains mucilage or mucilage, perhaps, the sticky stuff that expands and becomes sort of jelly-like when it absorbs water. And this is helpful to seeds because it means that when they encounter moist soil, that mucilage grabs up water for the seed to use and also kind of sticks it in to the soil. It's also rad for eating because it's texturally interesting. You get a little bit of chew and like this burst of mild floral flavor and then a crunch from the seed within. Bloomed basil seeds are incorporated into cold drinks and chilled and frozen desserts in India and Southeast Asia.
Ooh, I bet that's good.
Oh, yeah. So it's sort of like a tapioca balls and bubble tea. Yeah.
I have a friend, this reminds me, because I was thinking about this like 2 days ago. I have a friend who she used to have a pretty substantial fear of eating anything with seeds in it. Like she won't eat strawberries.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because the little tiny.
Sure.
Because she thought, she knew it was ridiculous, but she said she couldn't shake the idea that it would like sprout in her stomach and kill her.
Uh-huh.
And I've been meaning to follow up because I was eating pumpkin seeds the other day and I was like, I wonder if this counts. Or if it's a specific type of seed. I like to know more about people's fears of things. I'm one of those weird people. So I'm glad I have this reminder to follow up.
To follow up, yeah.
To follow up. I just want to understand.
If it's only whole seeds or, yeah, if you crunch the seed, then clearly you're killing it, I think.
Right?
I mean.
Yeah. How far does this seed phobia go? That's all I need to know. But that's a project, that's a side project I'll do on my own time.
Absolutely.
For now.
Yeah.
We're talking about basil, which has been a symbol of love in Italy and on certain Portuguese holidays. It makes up a part of a gift to a loved one. Please, if there's any listeners in Portugal, I'd love to hear more about that.
Yeah.
But throughout its history, as we sort of alluded to, basil has represented everything from hatred to royalty to Satan. Sometimes all at once.
Yeah. So we're going to get into that confusing mash of legend and history. But first, we're going to get into a quick break for a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico.
We've talked in a bunch of different episodes about facets of Puerto Rican cuisine, like the dish mofongo, made of savory, deep-fried mashed plantains studded with some kind of tasty protein, and the creation of the cool, creamy piña colada. But there is so much more there. I've actually never been. You have a tiny bit of experience, don't you?
Yes, unfortunately, it was a very tiny bit of experience. I was there for about a day. I'm kicking myself for that now. I remember having delicious rums, delicious drinks, but I want to go back because, yeah, so many episodes we do on here, when we're talking about food from Puerto Rico, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds amazing. We're trying to get a Savor team trip
together. Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're trying to get a trip to a lot of places, but this is this is really top of the list. Even putting together this ad read made me hungry. I was like, oh, I want to try those things. Yeah, as we've talked about before, there are influences there from African and Spanish and native Taino foodways. The culinary scene sounds amazing, and we want to go, and I'm hungry. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. You can learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
All right. So, basil history is tough to track down.
It is.
But we have tried to make sense of the confusing history that we have uncovered. And we will present it to you.
As unconfusingly as possible.
That is what we promise. That is the foodstuff guarantee. We do our best. So, basil has been cultivated for about 5,000 years or so, and most likely originated in India or around there. It was found in the tombs of mummies, and historians think it was used in embalming and preserving in ancient Egypt. Some of the first records, written records of basil, came out of Hunan, China in 807 CE. So that's pretty newish.
Relatively.
Yeah, relatively. I'm used to, like, back in 6000 BCE, whatever happened. The ancient Greeks associated basil with mourning, referring to it as the royal herb, possibly because of the Greek word basileus, meaning king. And the French still call it the herbe royale.
The ancient Greek term for basil was basilikon phyton, a royal plant.
The Oxford English Dictionary entry on basil recounts it might have been, quote, some royal unguent, bath, or medicine, and that might be where the name came from. Another possible etymological origin, though less likely, suggests that the Latin basilicus as the root word for basil, basilicus meaning dragon, the same root word for basilisk. This is less likely, but anytime we can bring up a basilisk in a show...
It's probably definitely not the root of the word basil, but at one point, the Latin term for basil and the Latin term for basilisk were the same, basiliscus.
Yes.
The French words for basil and basilisk are still the same, basilic. And this might be where the connection to scorpions comes in.
Ah.
Okay, so the ancient Greek word basiliskos, meaning little king, was the term for a type of bird that had this golden crest of feathers on its head. The word could also refer to a kind of poisonous snake that had a spot on its head that supposedly resembled a crown. Pliny talked about this and might have been referring to king cobras.
Uh-huh.
From these creatures, we got the mythological basilisk, the venomous lizard or serpent type being, and part of the myth of the basilisk was that basil was a cure for its venom.
Oh!
Herbalists were already using basil oil topically to treat insect bites, And furthermore, the basilisk and the scorpion were associated with one another because they were both venomous.
Oh. A Greek legend gives basil its scientific name. After a Greek warrior, Ocamus, was killed by a gladiator, basil grew where he fell. There's a similar-ish legend that has basil growing on the spot where Helen and St. Constantine found the Holy Cross.
Some medieval legends describe Helen following a trail of basil up to the cross, as the herb had apparently sprung up wherever Jesus' blood had fallen to the earth. And one legend in particular says that basil was growing on the cross itself. This might have come from what John wrote was inscribed on the cross, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. The Greek version of that inscription uses the word basilius for king. And another name for basil is St. Joseph's wort, named after Mary's husband.
I didn't know that. I feel like a fool. St. Joseph wort?
Yeah.
Is basil?
Yeah. Not St. John's wort, which is a totally separate thing.
Okay, that's what I'm thinking. Okay. Phew.
The one with all the mental properties is St. John's wort. The one that's basil is St. Joseph's wort.
The one that's basil. Okay, that makes more sense. From India and through the Middle East, basil made its way to Europe in the 16th century, although European accounts of it exist before then.
Oh, yeah.
From there, it made the jump across the pond to the Americas in the 17th century.
Yeah, and I think it was definitely in southern Europe. Way before that.
Yeah.
By Northern Europe, it made its way out too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Basil shows up in Jewish folklore, granting strength during fasting. European lore took a slightly different track, occasionally using basil as a symbol of Satan. Ancient Greeks and Romans believed that basil only flourished when abuse was a factor. And because of that belief, they associated it with hate, bad fortune, poverty, and Satan himself. This connotation with basil was so strong that some Greek farmers may have let curse words fly when planting basil, and inspired the French to come up with the phrase simila basilica as a slang for slander. I can only hope there were farmers just
cussing out their basil plants as they were sowing. Yeah.
I can only hope. This whole Satan thing stuck around, too. In the 1600s, Natural History, published by Lord Francis Bacon, he posited that a basil plant left in the sun for too long would turn into time, courtesy of the devil. Is time like evil or something?
I'm not sure. That's a whole other episode.
Yeah, I was like, I want to know, but I must focus my efforts on basil. I suppose related is the practice of giving young, unwed women a basil leaf to carry around. If it withered before the lady got hitched, well, I don't have to tell you.
I think you do. What did it mean?
I meant they were unchaste, obviously.
Oh.
And you couldn't marry them.
Oh. Okay.
I guess that wasn't very obvious. They had different beliefs back then about basil than we do now. In Hinduism, Tulsi, or holy basil, is believed to have a connection to the gods, Vishnu, one of them. Holy basil was used in the preparation of holy water in the Greek Orthodox Church, and rumors of history say that it might have been found near the tomb of Christ post-resurrection. So, not satanic like that non-holy basil.
By the 1600s, people in England would hang basil in doorways to ward off flies and perhaps evil spirits.
Mm-hmm. Basil is still used when preparing holy water in the Serbian, Macedonian, and Romanian churches, and some churches have basil pots under the church altars. When the British controlled India, Tulsi basil was sometimes used in the place of the Bible as something to swear on in court. This spiritual aspect of basil meant that it showed up in a lot of rituals and ceremonies. The ancient Greeks and Egyptians thought that basil was the key to opening the gates of heaven and allowing the dead passage. It was sort of, I think I read somewhere, seen as your passport to get in.
Huh.
Both the Europeans and Indians have traditions of placing basil in the hands or mouth, respectively, of the dead or dying to ensure their safe journey in the afterlife.
It was at one point in Greece or Rome considered a sacred herb to be picked only by men under the guidance of priests. Priests like wearing new outfits
Oh.
Who had not been hanging around with women.
That, unchaste women?
Well, with women who could have been menstruating because, you know, that's the worst.
It's true.
Super unclean.
It's true.
You have to be careful when you're picking your basil.
You do. It was once believed that a woman on her period who called a man would cause him to die.
Oh.
There have been some interesting theories in history about that. But, well, speaking sort of related, in the 1300s, the Decameron by Boccaccio included a pretty dark tale where basil played an integral role. The story centers around Elisabetta, whose lover was murdered by her brothers. The lover's spirit appears to her one night in a dream, informing her of where he's buried. She recovers his head and hides it in a pot of basil that is freshly watered with her tears and her lover's demise. When her brothers find out, they take the pot from her, and soon after, she dies, overwhelmed by grief.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
That's chipper.
It is. And it spawned the equally chipper, John Keats's Isabella or the Pot of Basil. And here, I mean, spoiler alert, here are the last two bits of that.
Yeah.
Piteous, she'd look on dead and senseless things, asking for her lost basil amorously. And with melodious chuckle in the strings of her lorn voice, she oftentimes would cry after the pilgrim in his wanderings to ask him where her basil was and why 'twas hid from her. For cruel 'tis, said she, to steal my basil pot away from me. And so she pined, and so she died forlorn, imploring for her basil to the last. No heart was there in Florence but did mourn, in pity of her love so overcast. And a sad ditty of the story born, from mouth to mouth through all the country passed. Still is the burthen sung, O cruelty, to steal my basil pot away from me.
This also morphed into another bit of cultural symbolism. In Italy, if a woman placed a pot of basil on her balcony, it might mean that she was ready for her suitor to arrive. And if he showed up with a sprig of basil, she'd know that he was serious.
Well, clearly.
I mean, obviously.
He had to go get the basil.
Yeah.
Show up. Two-step process. And speaking of tragedies and basil, if we skip way ahead to the 1980s, a bulletin on herbs from the British Ministry of Agriculture labeled basil as being of, quote, little or no importance.
Little or no importance.
Right?
That is tragic.
It is.
Why would you say that?
They don't know.
British Ministry of Agriculture.
What are you doing?
Oh, I think we're proving them wrong every day of our lives.
You and I are.
With one caprese salad at a time.
One margarita pizza per day. Oh. Yeah, that's the kind of interesting mishmash. Oof. Of...
I had no idea.
Oh, me either. That we're going to be talking about scorpions so much.
Basilisks.
Satan.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
There you go.
Now you know, and knowing's half the basil.
Oh.
I'm just going to crawl under the desk after that one. I'm sorry, guys.
Dylan is applauding quite enthusiastically.
He is. Thank you. Thank you, Dylan. Well, that brings us to more or less the end of our basil episode, but right after, we've got a quick break for a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico.
We've talked in a bunch of different episodes about facets of Puerto Rican cuisine, like the dish mofongo, made of savory, deep-fried mashed plantains studded with some kind of tasty protein, and the creation of the cool, creamy piña colada. But there is so much more there. I've actually never been. You have a tiny bit of experience, don't you?
Yes. Unfortunately, it was a very tiny bit of experience. I was there for about a day. I'm kicking myself for that now. I remember having delicious rums, delicious drinks, but I want to go back because, yeah, so many episodes we do on here, when we're talking about food from Puerto Rico, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds amazing. We're trying to get a Savor team trip
together. Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're trying to get a trip to a lot of places, but this is this is really top of the list. Even putting together this ad read made me hungry. I was like, oh, I want to try those things. Yeah, as we've talked about before, there are influences there from African and Spanish and native Taino foodways. The culinary scene sounds amazing, and we want to go, and I'm hungry. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. You can learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu. And that brings us to the end of this classic episode. We hope that you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed bringing it back and doing it in the first place. Definitely, if you have any recipes, because I'm in the springtime state of mind, I already have kind of a pasta recipe that I created it last year that I do for Easter now, and it has a lot of basil in it. If you've got any of those...
Yeah.
We send them our way.
Yeah, and I still have one basil plant that I haven't killed. So
good note. We're rooting for you.
No, thank you. I'm rooting for it. It was touch and go for a minute there.
Oh dear. Well, send your thoughts for Lauren's basil plant.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you can contact us about this, recipes, thoughts for the basil plant. At our email at hello@savorpod.com.
We're also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at SavorPod, and we do hope to hear from you. Savor is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit Pronamel.com.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.